Listening to Fresh Air Community Radio.
That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and online at kfai.org.
And you're listening too.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman.
This program will inspire you, inform you, feed you healthy recipes, engage you politically, enlighten you spiritually. Help me name it. I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for. And if I make you happy, I don't need to do more. Cause you make me feel.
Good evening. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and we're streaming online at kfai.org. And this is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman, and I'm Kinshasha. This evening, I'm going to share a talk by Dr. Richard Schultz. Dr. Schultz is someone who I have followed his work for probably the past 20, 25 years. He's amazing. Dr. Schultz's mission is to illuminate and empower you with so much natural healing and herbal medicine wisdom, specifics, remedies, fixes, programs, tools, and general know-how that whenever you need it, you've got it. Dr. Schultz says that there are no incurable diseases. And in this talk, he shares his commitment, and his personal commitment is to offer every American an option from medical doctors, hospitals, surgery, chemical drugs, and physical and emotional financial bankruptcy that this system of disease management causes. Unless maintaining chronic diseases with medical doctors, drugs, and surgeries and spending your nest egg to do so sounds like fun, he says, I have an alternative. It's called health. In fact, I'd like to call it creating powerful health. It's a lot more fun less costly than managing disease and lets you live your fullest potential. Without any further ado, Dr. Richard Schultz.
It is not God's will for you to be sick. It is not God's will for you to suffer. It's not God's will for any of you to be diseased or in pain. Everyone can have a healing miracle and be free of all illness. Now, certainly we can pray to the great physician, the Lord Jesus, for that miracle, but I'm here to also tell you that the Bible has given us many words of God's divine gifts. Herbs right in our own backyard, Ezekiel 47:12, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Herbs and foods that I used in my clinic for 20 years and watched thousands and thousands of people have healing miracles from every disease known. So I'm here to teach you today how to create your own healing miracle in your life and give you specifics and even talk about herbs that you can use, creating your own natural healing programs to create a new life. I have faith. After 20 years in the clinic, my patients taught me everything. And I have seen the light when it comes to healing your body. I ran a clinic for the medical rejects. Most of the people that came to see me were already supposed to have been dead. The doctor said, well, you'll be dead by April. And sure enough, September, they were crawling in my door. Let me tell you here today that miracles happened every day in my clinic. Miracles happen all around me. I am very blessed. And I found that as I get older, I am more and more amazed by the power of God, by the power of nature, by the power of herbs, natural healing, and the healing power. This healing power is unleashed and amplified by the intensity not only in what we believe, but the intensity in doing the programs themselves. Our imagination, our belief, our faith, our love, all of these add fuel to your healing. If you came here today to hear a scientist, or if you came here today to hear a surgeon, I can tell you right now, you've come to the wrong place. If you've come here to revive your spirit, you're in the right room. If you wanted to renew your faith in God, this is the place. If you wanted to relearn the power of God's divine gifts and miracle herbs, this is the place. If you wanted to rejoice in the power of having a healing miracle by living a natural lifestyle, again, you're in the wrong, you're in the right room. Stay in your seat. Don't leave. Let me tell you about me, because that's really where my story begins. I was born in upstate New York, cold country, very, very different than the temperature in this room. And one winter when I was 11 years old, I heard a lot of moaning and crying and screaming. It woke me up. It was my father. He sounded very ill. My mother was crying. She said, please go in and sit with your father while I try to get a doctor on the telephone. And when I went in, my father was gasping for breath. His lips were blue. He was crying. He was in agonizing pain. I didn't know it, but he was in the midst of a major heart attack. During the hours that I sat with him, and my mother couldn't get anybody on the phone, we were in a snow emergency, and during those hours, he cried, he screamed, he lost bladder control, he vomited on me, he lost bowel control, and after many hours, he looked at me right in the eyes, and he said, I'm dead, and he slumped over in my arms. That was a rude awakening for an 11-year-old, and my first experience with mortality, the death of the physical body. And when I was 14, my mom dropped dead. And now I had no parents. And by 15, I was living in New York eating out of garbage cans. Luckily, I was in America. You can find some pretty good stuff in garbage cans. And at 16, I became ill. I first thought I was having a tooth problem. I had severe pains in my left jaw. Then they radiated down my left arm. I began to pass out, have really thumping, pounding in my chest, and my chest became tight. And it got to a point where 2 to 3 times a day, I would lose my vision. I'd get stars, it would go black, and I would wake up on the ground. I eventually decided it was time to go see a doctor, a medical doctor, and I did, and they ran every test in the book. They ran stress tests and electrocardiograms and x-rays, did it all. And I remember when the doctor came in and told me that I had a deformed heart. He said that genetic heart weakness ran in my family. I obviously knew that. And he said that you have a deformed heart and deformed heart valves. And he showed me a picture of my heart, and it didn't even look like a normal heart. And he said, you need to have heart surgery, open heart surgery, or you will be dead by the time you're 20 years old. Because he said, there is no way this weak heart and deformed heart, along with a valve that is hardly even there, would be able to pump enough blood to an adult body to keep you alive. So he said, we must do the surgery right away. But when he described the surgery, I was quite frightened. So I asked him if there was any other options. I asked him about prayer. And he said, there's no way. He said, you need heart surgery. And I said, what about exercise? What about changing things I'd eat? Because the health food stores were starting to open up in different neighborhoods. And he said, absolutely not. I said, what about my great Aunt Hattie? Because I had a great Aunt Hattie. She was like a grandma to me. And whenever me or my brother was sick, well, she would grab some herbs out of the backyard, grind them up, mix them into something horrible tasting, and shove them down our throat. And we called her a witch, but she was an herbalist. And we always got well, and I asked if there was any possibility there. And he said, look, you don't understand. The only way we can save you is open heart surgery. Well, what are you going to do? I had to do what my doctor was saying. I was falling down and passing out in severe pain 3 times a day. And you know what? I knew when he was talking to me that there was something very wrong inside me, and I felt I was going to die. So I entered into the hospital, moved into my room, and I was awaiting my surgery. And in hospitals, they tend to group you in rooms with other people. So they grouped me with a few other younger people that had heart problems. And I met a very good friend there named Bob. And we became immediate friends right away. He had the same problem as me. He was scheduled for his surgery a week before mine. He had his surgery, and the doctors came and told me he had died on the table. So now I got my dad, my mom, Bob, and at 16, it didn't take a genius to think who was next. I was scared to death. I remember pulling up my pants very quickly, getting my clothes out of the little closet in the hospital, and running out of the hospital. And I was going to do anything, but I was not going to have my rib cage sawed in half. I was not going to have it jacked open, and I was not going to have my heart removed and a knife stuck in it, because that didn't sound like a healing experience to me. So I walked, thank you, and I talked to everybody I could find. I asked them, what would you do? What can I do? And I did it all. I did everything I could find to heal myself. I worked on my food program. I came from a German family. We had blood for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert. I thought vegetarianism was some kind of anti-German movement. Okay? I had no idea, but I changed what I ate, and I changed what I thought, and I changed how I moved my body and the clothes I wore. I changed everything. After 3 years, I could hardly recognize the person I had become. And after 3.5 years, I went back to the doctor because I felt I was well. And I went back to the same doctor and I said, I think I've healed myself. He was shocked. He was shocked because he said he didn't expect that I would still be alive. And I said, run the tests. I can feel something different in my body. I can feel a new heart. And he ran the tests, the electrocardiograms, the x-rays, the stress tests, the new echocardiogram. And when he came back to the room to show me, he had a look like he had been visibly shocked. Visibly shocked. And he said, if I didn't have the old pictures right here, I wouldn't believe this. But he says, your heart and your valves are no longer deformed. He said, you have a new heart. He said, this is a miracle. And I said, yes, I know it's a miracle, but I did a lot of work to make this happen. See, I heard very early on in my life that God helps those that help themselves. So I had some work to do, and I did my work. And he says, you don't understand, this is a miracle. And I said, yeah, but listen to what I did. And I started telling him about the carrot juice and the veggie burgers and the long walks and the different clothes and the different attitude. You know, with every organ in the body, there are emotions that will heal that organ and emotions that will kill it. And if you have a bad heart, you better learn how to love. You better learn how to give love and receive love, because with hate in your mind, you can't have a healthy heart. I learned that. And as I was telling him all of this, I think he was writing, mildly delusional, schizophrenic. His eyes were rolling in his head. This went against what he was taught, what he learned in school. But I had a new heart. I had a new heart. Later on in life, as I decided to undertake natural healing and herbal medicine as my life's mission, I was in naturopathic school, and we had a big fire, and this hand was covered with flaming, boiling oil, this one right here. It curled up into a ball. I couldn't even open it up. I was in extreme pain. And I thought, no problem. You're talking to the person who healed their heart. I had a deformed heart and a valve that was half there, and I got a new heart and a new valve. A hand? No problem. But after about 3 or 4 days, I could see that I did some serious damage, so I went to visit a medical doctor, friend of mine, who referred me to another medical doctor who was a burn specialist, especially with hands. And when I saw him, he said, you have done some serious damage to this hand. He said, these are fourth-degree burns. I didn't know what that was. He said, these are fourth degree, way beyond third. Fourth degree is when you've burned all the flesh all the way down to the bone. And I said, well, it doesn't look that bad, because I had cleaned it up. And he said, look, and right here, he took the flesh off my finger. I'd put the other fingers down, but that isn't a very good gesture. So let's do it this way. He took the flesh off this finger right to the bone. It was just bone, no cartilage, no little ligaments or tendons. And then he put a clamp on my thumb and pulled the casing off like a cooked chicken. Then I could see the damage I had done. He said, you need a skin graft. You cannot grow your skin back. And I said, wait a minute. I can grow my skin back. I know how to create healing miracles. And he said, look, I've been doing this for 30 years. You cannot grow skin from bone or osteoblasts or bone cells. And you cannot grow skin from thin air. And I said, yeah, but what about, and I went through my program, healing herbs, prayer. I went through it from one end to the other. He rolled his eyes and he goes, you don't understand. You have nothing to grow your skin back. You'll get a massive infection. It could even kill you. You need a skin graft. Very convincing man. So I decided to have a skin graft. And the next thing he asked me to do was to take my pants down. And I didn't quite understand that. And he was looking at my rear end and drawing a picture on it, actually. And I said, well, what are you doing? And he said, well, this is where we're going to take the skin from. Now, can you imagine being in a doctor's office with a burn-off hand, and now they're talking about cutting into one of your favorite parts of your body that you use every day? I pulled my pants up so fast, I'm sure I'm in the Guinness record somewhere. And I said, that natural healing bell went off again to wake me up, to let me know that my body can heal itself of anything. All I have to do is give it the opportunity. So I walked again. And in 30 days, I had skin covering this hand. and my hand was working. And I went back to show that doctor. And when I walked in his office and he saw this hand, you could see him shake. And he goes, did you have a graft? And I said, no. And of course, there were no scars from the grafting process that they do. And he said, this is a miracle. And I said, yes, I've heard that before. And he said, this is a miracle. And I said, yes, it is a miracle. But look at what I did. And I started to tell him about my program, which was even better than my heart program, because I had learned more, and I knew new things to eat, and I knew 5 different juicers I could use now instead of just one, and new ways to move my body. And he said, you don't understand, son. He goes, I have been a burn specialist all my life. He said, this is a miracle. He said, it isn't even possible. And I said, you've spent your whole life sewing people's rear ends onto their hand. You have never, ever given the body a chance to see what is possible. That's what I do. I want to see how far we can take this, what kind of miracles we can have if we're willing to use some of the divine gifts that are just growing right in our own backyard.
Support for KFAI comes from the Landmark Center, presenting Music on the Cortile. Free, live musical performances taking place over 5 Thursday lunch hours from June 26th through August 20th.
Thursday, August 20th, AniXO takes the stage. AniXO's music is a blend of folk stylings and alternative songwriting to convey the struggles of youth in a postmodern landscape.
The noon to 1 p.m. concert is free and open to the public. You're invited to bring your lunch and enjoy the show.
More information about AniXO live at the Musser Cortile is available at landmarkcenter.org.
You're listening to a talk by Dr. Richard Schultz. There are no incurable diseases.
For exercise, I decided to downhill ski. And I was doing a lot of skiing, and my mind got ahead of my feet a little bit, and I even entered some amateur races. And I was in Deer Valley, Utah. I was looking at the last bamboo I had to turn around, and I heard a big and the next thing I know, as I was told, I turned into the human snowball. And when I woke up in the hospital, a doctor had my leg in his hand, and it was dangling just like this. And he said, you have destroyed your knee so badly, I don't even want to look at it. He goes, we took a few preliminary x-rays, take my word for it, anything that you can wreck, you wrecked. He goes, you need to get back to Los Angeles to go to the best orthopedic clinic in the world. You all know the one that works on all the sports stars down there in LA. Well, that's where I went after they put me in a splint and put me on an airplane, and they took a look at my knee, and the doctor came back and he said, you have ripped all your medial collateral ligaments. They're gone. He said, you have ripped all your anterior cruciate ligaments inside your knee. They're gone. He said, you have torn your meniscus. You have torn your cartilage. He says, it doesn't get much worse. He goes, there's just a little flesh holding your knee together. He said, you need immediate surgery. I said, my body can heal itself. And he laughed right in my face. I told him about my heart. I told him about my hand, and I certainly told him about my natural healing program. He told me I was wasting his time. He said, I have worked with injuries like this all my life, and if you do not have this surgery, you will never walk again. Well, this is pretty convincing coming from who's considered to be the greatest orthopedic surgeon in the world. And I was just about to let him do his thing when he told me that my knee was so bad, they were going to have to take ligaments from a dead body, from a cadaver, and sew them in my leg. And that's when that bell went off again at me, and I thought, now I'm in the room with Dr. Frankenstein. I'd like to say I walked out of his office, but that wasn't possible. I crawled, and in a month, I couldn't walk. In 2 months, I was limping, and in 3 months, I was walking. And I went back and showed him. I just wanted to check. I thought maybe I was delusional. And he was shocked, and he said, this is a miracle. And I said, I know, I've heard that before. And I said, but you can't believe what the human body is capable of if you're willing to give it an opportunity, if you're willing to create a natural, a healing environment, everything you do in your life. And I started to tell him what I did, and I could see his note-taking, schizophrenic, mildly delusional. He couldn't believe it. If I listened to and believed what the medical doctors told me, I wouldn't have any skin on this hand. I couldn't walk. And I'm not 20 yet. I'd be dead. That was their prognosis of me. I'd be dead. I'd have no skin on my hand. I'd never walk again.
We're continuing to listen to Dr. Richard Schultz. This talk is about incurable diseases, how there are no incurable diseases, according to Dr. Schultz. Dr. Schultz's website is herbdoc, herbdoc.com.
So here's the first question I ask you this morning. How is it that little old me proved some of the world's greatest physicians and surgeons wrong? How is it that tens of thousands of people that came to my clinic were told by the greatest doctors in the country and some of them in the world that they'd be dead by now, and they're still alive and they're thriving, and most of their doctors are dead? How is this? And that's what I want to take a look at this morning. Because tomorrow is what you believe and what you do today. And you have all been brainwashed to such a degree by the American Medical Association in this country. You have been taught not what the body is capable of, but you have been all taught how to be drug addicts. And I'm here to turn that around. Thank you. When you go to a doctor, the first thing they do is they give you a diagnosis. A diagnosis simply means what they think is wrong with you. They look at a number of symptoms and fit you into a category. It's called a diagnosis. Then the next thing they do is they give you a prognosis, which is their version of telling the future. That's what they're doing. Same as a stockbroker or a weatherman. They're telling the future. I can't tell you how many patients that came in my office that said that their doctor said they'd be dead a few months ago. How dare anyone say that? How dare any man or woman say that? Yeah. What were they trying to do? Stimulate the patient's immune system? This is a book called The Merck Manual. It is considered one of the greatest medical books in the world. It is written by an international team all around the world of the best medical experts and printed by Merck Sharp & Dohme, one of our largest drug companies. Every doctor has one of these in his office. Every hospital, you'll find one on every floor. I have heard people and doctors refer to this as the Bible, but let me tell you, they had the wrong book in their hand. This is the book of diagnosis and prognosis. You can look up any disease. So if any of you are interested in diseases, today's about health, but if you're interested in diseases, you can look up any disease, and then it'll give you these doctors' idea of what will happen. But they miss something in a simple mathematical equation. Because you have to have two things to add together to get a prognosis. Now imagine if we wrote diagnosis right up there. Diagnosis. Diagnosis, and then we drew a line and we put prognosis underneath it. Diagnosis plus something equals the prognosis. There's a missing factor in there. Diagnosis, you have a deformed heart. Prognosis, you'll be dead by 20. Diagnosis, fourth degree burns on most of your hand. Prognosis, you'll never have a hand again. You'll die of infection without a skin graft. Diagnosis, medial collateral ligaments, anterior cruciate ligaments, cartilage, meniscus, gone. Prognosis, you will never walk again without surgery. What the heck is in the middle? Me, this groovy guy right here standing on stage. That's what's in the middle. They forgot that. See, when you go to a doctor, they assume they know who you are. They label you the average American. That's who you are, the average American. Well, let me tell you who the average American is, and you can see if you fit into that category. The average American eats a very low nutrition, high fat, high sugar food program. It's high and over processed, nutritionally depleted food. The average American eats 300 soft drinks a year, 170 pounds of white refined sugar, 400 candy bars, and 500 donuts. And since I don't eat donuts, somebody out there's eating 1,000. The average American eats 12 entire 3,000-pound cows in their life. Now, just imagine lying back for a moment and having a crane come in here and dangle a 3,000-pound cow and that going through your mouth, 12 of those, through your mouth, through your digestive tract, and through your bloodstream, and then you'll pray to God that it'll even come out of your body. Imagine that. 12 entire 3,000-pound cows, 6 entire pigs, whole pigs, 3,000 chickens and other birds, 3,000 assorted fish and sea creatures, 30,000 quarts of milk, and tries to pass that all through their bloodstream and digestive system. The average American has between 2 and 4 bowel movements a week, and according to my estimates, that makes the average American 70,000 bowel movements short in their lifetime. Where does that all go? Sometimes you can hear it or smell it when you get near them. The average American, 100% of Americans have diverticulosis or digestive and elimination problems and digestive system disease. The average American gets very little exercise, has hypercholesterolemia or a cholesterol level above 200, has hypertension or high blood pressure. The average American swallows 30,000 aspirin and other painkillers, another 20,000 over-the-counter and prescription drugs, and 2,000 gallons of alcohol. The average American is a very drugged out, drunk, numb person that's got a lot of cows in their mouth. Get the picture? The average American has a very negative self-image, has very little spiritual life, gets reoccurring bouts of depression and anxiety. The average American is a physical, emotional, and spiritually sick person. Therefore, the doctor's prognosis of their disease is probably right. So if that's who you are, if I just described any of you, I highly suggest you drive into town, go to a Crown Books, and you too can purchase a copy of this book. It just may tell your future. But I think that most of you are not the average American in here. I think most of you in here live a very different lifestyle. So I have one very good word of advice for you. Don't listen to your doctor! Yeah, they have no idea what is going to happen to you. Everything in here is based on the 12 cow, 500 donut eater, 170 pounds of white sugar, depressed person sitting around watching reruns of Roseanne on their color television. Okay? If that isn't you, drop the book. If you live an above average lifestyle, if you are not the average American, if you make different choices in what you eat and what you drink and what you think, medical doctors know little or nothing about how your body will react and recover from disease. Medical doctors know little or nothing about your healing potential. Remember, they saw my heart, they said dead. They saw my hand, they said no hand. They saw my knee, they said never walk again. They couldn't have been more wrong. Three strikes and they're out of here. And I'm here to tell you that if you make these better choices and create a positive, loving, spiritual, healing lifestyle and home, that you can expect to have miracles happen just like my heart, just like my hand, and just like my knee. And that's all I did in my clinic, and I saw tens of thousands of people have healing miracles. Doctors aren't bad guys and gals. We just asked for it. We said, hey, doc, I got a headache. They said, well, let me run some tests. We said, hey, man, I got to get back to work. Give me some dope. Give me something that'll take the pain away. As a doctor, I know there can be a lot of reasons for a headache. You could have subluxated cervical vertebrae. Maybe you need a neck adjustment. You could have tight upper trapezius muscles. Maybe you need a massage. You could have indigestion. You could be constipated. Maybe you need to exercise. Maybe you just need to sit down, shut up, and take a deep breath. Maybe you have a brain tumor. There's a lot of reasons. But I don't know if taking dope is the best thing to do. Maybe you ought to try to figure out what's wrong by taking better care of yourself. You know, 100 years ago, medicine really came into power in this country. And it has greatly aided the corruption and the degeneration of life in America. Now, we would like to think, because of medicine, that we have a better life. Not true. America spends more money per person on medicine than any country of the world. But as far as longevity, we don't even rank in the top 10. We didn't even come into the top 10. So don't let anybody fool you into thinking all this medicine has got us anywhere except for being drugged up, drug dependent, and broke. Medicine promised us some magic. I call this the medical lie. They said to us at the turn of the century, look, go out and enjoy yourself. Party hardy. Burn the candle at both ends. Live life in the fast lane. And in 30, 40 years of degenerative physical, emotional, and spiritual life, when your body explodes and you have a heart attack, a stroke, cancer, lateral sclerosis, myasthenia or gravis, Parkinson's disease, or an ulcer, we'll just give you a pill, and you're going to be all better. And what we have been seeing and what we have proven in the last 100 years is that doesn't work, does it? There's no cure for cancer, according to medicine. There's no pill to give you. They're still hoping for one. There's no pill cure for diabetes. Nobody's getting a better pancreas from taking insulin. In fact, your pancreas gets worse from taking insulin. There are no chemical cures for anything. And anyone that you think might be a cure, if you check back far enough, it wasn't a cure, it just made things worse. I'll use an example. Anybody that goes to medical school today will learn that there are areas of your body called lymphoid aggregations. The tonsils, which you have three sets of, the Peyer's patches in the small intestine and the appendix. They are not any longer looked at as bad guys. They're looked at as parts that your body needs. There's only one area in your body that your B cells using immunoglobulin can create the antibody for poliomyelitis, and it is in the tonsils. The massive amount of polio outbreaks in America only happened 10 to 20 years after medical doctors performed all the tonsillectomies. They removed the organ that could have protected us. So we say, hey, because I remember in that era, they'd do all the kids for the price of one. Get them in the office. Let's get all the tonsils out. The Salk vaccine. Dr. Salk was heralded as the savior of mankind. They made that vaccine. They got pigs sick with polio, let them rot and die, then took the pus out of their kidneys and put it into an injection or into a tablet. We took it. Polio went away. The cancer rate has gone up 10 times since then. Now, when Dr. Salk invented the vaccine in the 50s, they looked at it because they knew it was pig pus, so they were looking for infection. It looked clean. They sterilized it. But in the 1970s, when they looked at that same live vaccine, they found 149 live viruses living in it that we couldn't see with the microscopes of the 1950s that now we could see with the microscopes of the 1970s. Just one of those viruses has been named by Harvard as the SV40 virus, which is now found inside almost all cancer cells. And as I said, the cancer rate at the turn of the century was 1 out of 25, and today it's almost 1 out of 2. So where did we get with this wonderful medicine? Polio was created by mankind and medical doctors having the audacity to think that this is not the correct design, and we need to cut a part out. And when they did, they created a whole epidemic of disease. So if any of you think that we need medicine, let me tell you, it's estimated that today in America, medical doctors, due to drug surgery, the after effects, accidentally kill 1 million people a year.
They say all good things must come to an end. But at KFAI, we believe otherwise. Your vehicle, once a source of countless memories and adventures, can continue to create positive change long after its last drive. By donating your car, truck, boat, or RV to KFAI, you give it a new purpose and support the programming you love. To learn more about how you can extend the contribution of your vehicle's influence, call 855-277-2346 or visit kfai.careasy.org.
You're listening to a talk by Dr. Richard Schultz. There are no incurable diseases.
In California and in the United States, it's estimated that 1,500 people are accidentally killed a year by handguns and rifles and shotguns, all guns. Now, if that's true, I propose a 6,660-day wait. Interesting number, isn't it? 666, waiting period, or 18 and a quarter year waiting period to see your doctor, which is exactly the difference between 1 million and 1,500 people. You'll find that 1 million is 666 times 1,500. And since here in California we have a 10-day waiting period to buy a gun, but the accidental deaths are 666 times greater with doctors, seems reasonable to me to wait 18 years before you decide to go see one. There are much greater cause of accidental death. Some of you who have come here are ill. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you can't quite yet believe that when I talk about a healing miracle, although I talked about my heart, my hand, and my knee, and my patients, you might think, well, he can't be talking about me. I want to assure you that I am talking to you. Do you know that when I was young, we had the war in Vietnam? I lost a lot of friends there. At the height of the Vietnam War, we were losing 5,000 to 6,000 people a year, men and women in Vietnam. That caused massive social unrest, rioting in the streets, and the eventual the eventual removal of the vice president and president of the United States because of all the uproar that was caused. 5,000 people a year. We have 1 million dying a year accidentally by medicine, and we're doing nothing about it. Let me tell you, there is a massive Holocaust going on right now. So there's a big medical lie. We were told by the doctors, hey, party, how many people in here have had a relative with a heart disease go to a doctor, maybe even have a bypass surgery, only to hear afterwards the doctor say, go out and enjoy your life, you have new plumbing. I heard that all the time in my clinic. Many of us have been told by our doctors, just go enjoy yourself. We put you all back together, fine. No responsibility. In my clinic, I have seen leukemia melt away. I've seen last stage neurological disorders like myasthenia gravis, where the patients were blind and choking to death on their own saliva, healed in a few hours. I had 16 patients with full-blown AIDS. One of them was dying in a hospital, had Kaposi sarcoma cancer covering 90% of his body, and his lungs were almost fully fibrosed with pneumocystis lung fibrotic disease, which are both associated with AIDS. He's still alive today. Some of you out there may still think I'm not talking about you. And I know what it's like to be sick. I can see your kitchen cabinets that are full from one side to the other with things that you bought that you were hoping were going to get you well. And your medicine cabinet is probably overflowed with prescriptions from your doctor. I know that usually overflows right onto the nightstand, or when you go to reach for the lamp at night, you probably knock 2 or 3 bottles off it. I had patients that were suffering and in so much pain, they had prayed to God to take them. Some of you out there may have even thought about calling Dr. Kevorkian, and I want you to know, if he's knocking at your door right now, you can tell him to go back home. Everybody in here can have their healing miracle. You don't need Dr. Death. And you still might be thinking, I'm not talking about you. Some of you might say, well, I have Alzheimer's disease. I had patients so bad with Alzheimer's disease, they were howling like a wolf on the full moon. Okay? Really bad. Some of you say, well, diabetes, he mentioned it, but does he really mean type 1 or type 2? Yes. I have hundreds of patients that have healed themselves of diabetes, no longer need insulin. Thousands of people that have healed themselves of cancers, people that's healed themselves of AIDS, yes. You know, I was on TBN about a month ago. They haven't aired it yet. And they were starting to get a little shaky because of my belief, what I have seen. And I said to them, you know, Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, healing every disease known: leprosy, palsy, fevers, paralysis, blindness, broken hearts, mending sick bodies and hearts and spirits. You know, I know that this book here has been referred to as the Bible, but I assure you it is not. It's this one over here. This book here says that there are many types of blindness that are incurable. This book here says all blindness can be cured. I said to them, do you think when Jesus was walking the shores of Galilee and healing the blind that he went, oh, wait a minute, dude, you got macular degeneration or you have cataracts. I don't do that. Yeah, that's pretty funny, isn't it? I know. But that's what this book says. Oh, I'm sorry, you have damage to the optic nerve. We can't fix it. This book says there's no cure for leprosy. This book says there is. In fact, this book says there's no cure for cancer, AIDS, arthritis, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, Alzheimer's disease. The list is almost endless of what this book says you can't do. This book is endless of what you can do. You can be healed. I know you can. I've seen it. I have seen the glory, believe me, in my clinic of what the body is capable of doing if we're willing to follow God's gifts and our nature's blessings, a healing to every disease known of mankind. I have seen it. I have witnessed it. Tomorrow is what you do and believe today. In fact, I wrote a book, There Are No Incurable Diseases, just to give people the idea. You know, running a clinic for 20 years, as I say, taught me everything. But I had some wonderful teachers that were the greatest believers I know. I apprenticed with a man named Dr. John Christopher out of Utah, and he was a wonderful believer. Very spiritual man, very, very blessed man. And I remember working in his clinic one day, and some parents brought in a little baby, not very old, less than a year old, and it was born with no optic nerve. They told me no optic nerve, so no electrical connection between the eyeball and the brain. So the eyes are dead. And Dr. Christopher came in, and I explained to him the diagnosis, and I had the medical reports there. And he said, mix him up the eye wash and tell him how to use it. And I thought, oh, you know, you're giving these people false hope. I took Dr. Christopher aside the one time I did that. And I said, I don't know if you heard me right, Doc. They said that there's no optic nerve. And he looked at me right in the eyes with a very scary look. And I think his words were, optic nerve, schmoptic nerve. I told you to mix up the eye wash. I proceeded to mix up the eye wash, and I saw that baby 7 months later, and its vision had returned. I said, Dr. Christopher, should we find out why? And he said, who cares? Forget the tests. The baby can see. And I really learned so much because, see, my belief was a little shaky before I trained with some of these great doctors, but they whipped me in the line pretty quick. And I learned to believe in my clinic. I had a wonderful young lady who was blinded with myasthenia gravis. She was choking to death. And I mentioned her a second ago, but I'll tell you the story. And all the doctors told her that she would eventually succumb by choking to death on her own saliva. She was in the very last stages. She had been blind for some time. All sorts of facial problems. It's a degenerative nerve disease of the face and throat. I got her and I sat her down and I told her that she could heal her body. And she did something extremely radical. She believed me. In 24 hours, all her symptoms were gone. Before the juice had a chance to really work and the herbs to take hold in her body, just the power of believing in something positive. Do you know that an immunologist will tell you that on the surface of all your immune cells are neuropeptide receptors? Now, what the heck is that? Well, every time you create a thought in your body, your brain creates a chemical, and they call that a neuropeptide. So you know how it feels when someone pulls in front of you and you wish you had those laser beams like in Star Wars? You could just make their car go away? That's a neuropeptide. How about when you know you shouldn't, but you hate something, someone, or your dog? You know what that feels like in your body? Not very nice. How about when you love, when you are blissed out and you are in love with the person you live with, in love with God, in love with Jesus, you feel that love moving through your whole body. Science says that's a neuropeptide. Well, the point I'm trying to make is they have found a neuropeptide receptor on all your immune cells. Because of that, science has now deduced, I don't like saying deduced, science has deduced that your immune system is listening to and reacting to your emotional dialogue. If it wasn't, there would be no need for a brain chemical receptor on an immune cell. Let me say that again. Your immune system is listening to and reacting to your emotional dialogue. What is going on in your mind? One of the first steps of healing yourself is believing that you can do it, and not this thing. Believing in the possibilities. Remembering what I said up here about my heart, my hand, and my knee. You know what my crime was? I believed. I believed I could be well. Therefore, my body healed itself. I believed that God's divine gifts that were growing in my backyard could heal me. Therefore, they did. Tomorrow is what you believe and do today.
Dr. Richard Schultz is who we've been listening to this evening. We're going to continue on with his conversation about there are no incurable diseases next Monday. So please listen in again. Dr. Schultz's website is herbdoc, herbdoc.com.
With so many roads that seem to lead down to the sea, I wonder which road will be the right one for me. Others may fall away, dead ending left and right, but there is this one road that journeys far out of sight. Have you wondered where your road will lead you? Maybe to a bright day of sunshine, or a starry night in heaven. Or it might be you're afraid to go, afraid to go, but you've got to follow your road, or you'll never know, never know.
Many people drink diet sodas because they are low in calories or have no calories. This is because the sugar that is used in regular soda is replaced with artificial sweeteners. People think, great, no calories, time to drink up. But not so fast. An article published in Trends in Endocrinology and Metabolism suggests that artificially sweetened beverages may actually have worse long-term health effects than drinking regular soda. Much research has been done on the ill effects diet soda consumption may have on our health. However, little research has been done on why this occurs. Some theories have been made, such as only people who are already unhealthy drink diet sodas. For instance, people who are overweight drink diet sodas to restrict caloric intake. The thinking behind this is that they are overweight and that's why they have poor health, and it has nothing to do with the diet sodas. A look at the research reveals that previous poor health conditions may be only part of the problem. When we intake regular soda, it has both calories and sugars. The brain receives this information and releases hormones that make us feel full and also help control large spikes in blood sugar. Large spikes in blood sugar would have negative health consequences in the long run. However, with artificial sweeteners, such as those used in diet sodas, the brain senses sweet taste, but no real sugar is in the body. This may throw off how our body responds to sweet and throw a kink in the system that works to buffer our blood sugars. Over time, the brain may stop producing proper mechanisms to help keep our blood sugars under control when we do actually consume sugar. By not buffering blood sugar spikes, our body becomes susceptible to the damage done by spikes in blood sugar. For instance, poorly controlled blood sugars can lead to type 2 diabetes, a disease that can have devastating effects on one's health and lifestyle. In all, more research needs to be done on the link between